what is it? That's exactly what the people of Israel said as God started raining bread from heaven. It was God's solution to their problem.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. This is Joshua Halleck. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. In just a moment, you'll be hearing a powerful message from Senior Pastor Mark Jobe of the New Life Community Church in Chicago. It's titled Breaking the Scarcity Conspiracy, and it's about how we have two ways we can view finances, two ways we can view resources. And God's word is clear that He does not want us to have a scarcity mentality, but to have an abundance mentality. To have in our mind, clearly, God is our provider. Everything in the world belongs to Him. Everything in our possession makes us stewards of His resources. And we don't have to be afraid, and we don't have to live with a scarcity mentality. As you listen today and you think through the finances that you've been given charge of, our prayer for you is that you would be encouraged, inspired by the Word of God. You may be going through some very difficult moments with finances. In fact, there's nothing that can cause as much stress, it seems, in some people's lives. And yet, this is an opportunity to partner with God and to walk down a road where He is your provider and He wants to use you. And so as you listen today, we're believing that there's something that God wants to happen inside of you that is going to affect the people around you and affect the world in which you live. And so as you turn to Exodus chapter 16 and get ready for breaking the scarcity conspiracy, my prayer for you is that you would have a breakthrough today and God would move you along and that good things would come out of your life as you walk in obedience to Him.
Let me set it up for you. Here it is. The people of Israel have spent 400 years in slavery. It was Joseph that originally brought his father and 11 brothers to live in Egypt with their family members because there was a famine in the land that they were from. And he brought their wives and sons and daughters. And the Bible goes on to tell us how they grew in that land. The Pharaoh that was there forgot Joseph. And within 400 years, that's a long time, 400 years, the people of Israel had become a subjugated people, a people in slavery. They were treated as pieces of property. They worked hard. They were a minority in the majority land of Egypt. They had the low-paying jobs. They were viewed as scum. The Egyptians stayed away from them. There was the Jewish neighborhood, and then there was the Egyptian neighborhood, and the Egyptians didn't like to go into the Jewish neighborhood because those were lower class people. They had less opportunity, less education, less finances, less rights. Certain things never change, do they? 400 years they lived in that kind of environment and developed a slave mentality. They developed the mentality of we are a lower class, and finally God decided to liberate the people of Israel through an unlikely candidate by the name of Moses. And God raised Moses up when he was 80 years old. God gave him supernatural power. Through a series of plagues, the people of Israel were liberated from the Egyptian domination. And finally, with the last plague, the death of the firstborn child, they were set out into the desert, heading towards the promised land. But between them and the promised land, there was a lot of desert. They're only a couple weeks out into the desert experience. There's about 1.2 million people. That's hard to get them going. You have enough trouble getting five here on Sunday morning. Try moving a million people through the desert. They're a couple weeks in the desert and they start to realize, hey, nothing grows in the desert. It's a wasteland out here in the desert. We can't grow tomato plants. There's no water. I mean, this is the land of scarcity. This is the place that brings death It's just sand hill after sand hill after sand hill. But no one lives here. Only the hardiest animals survive in this place. This is the land of scarcity. Yet God was taking them to the land of plenty. A scarcity in the desert was just an intermediate place as they were on their way to the promised land. But in the middle of the desert, they begin to do what often we do with a scarcity mentality. They began to complain. They began to look to the heavens and say, God, what are you doing? I mean, we had it better before. 400 years of slavery, and listen what they began to say to the heavens. They began to complain about where they were at, where God was taking them, and where they needed to be. It tells us in Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 and 3. I want us to stand for the reading of the word. In Exodus 16, verse 2 and 3, I'm just going to read two verses for you. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Word of the Lord, you may be seated. I want you to note, now who are these people? These are the people that God has just liberated from slavery. This is the people that God has taken out. They're no longer pieces of property. He's leading them to freedom. But they have a scarcity mentality that's been beaten in them through years of subjugation and slavery. They don't have a God mentality. They have a slave mentality. And so as soon as they begin to experience and face some scarcity in their life, they begin to grumble against God and complain against the heavens. And they say, hey, God, what are you doing? We were better off in our old life. We were better off. At least we had meat. Oh, I know they whipped us. And I know they treated us as a piece of property, but at least we had cucumbers. Here we are now in the desert, and there's just scarcity around us. They began to grumble against God. They began to grumble against Aaron and against Moses. They began to get full of fear that God had led them to a place where they would die in scarcity. And there's something that happens when we start traveling through the land of scarcity. In fact, many of you have experienced that. And as we travel through the land of recession, even in this country, the fear, the dark cloud, sometimes begins to hover over people. They tell us that when the unemployment rate changes even 1% in a nation, and I think right now we're at 8.5% or so, when the unemployment changes a 0.5% or 1%, the amount of suicides increase, the amount of divorces increase, the amount of addiction-related problems surge. Why? Because not because all those people are affected by it, but it's the dark cloud of the future. The fear, the anxiety begins to get a grip on people, and the mentality of scarcity begins to sit in, and now we begin to fear and worry, and we begin to grab what we have instead of looking for greater opportunities, and it begins to have its effect on our lives. That's exactly what happened in the desert. 1 million people grabbed by the mentality of scarcity, and so they grumble against God, and here's what God does. God does an incredible thing with them. He teaches them about the scarcity myth through something called manna. God's pretty ingenious about how he solves economic problems. You know what manna means? It means, what is it? Because that's exactly what the people of Israel said as God started raining sort of thin bread from heaven, and the people saw it and they said, what is this? It was God's solution to their problem. So I want you to understand there's several things that we learn through God's solution to their problems. And if you're taking notes, I want to make sure you jot this down. Manna teaches us several things about the scarcity myth. Their scarcity mentality. If you're taking notes, jot them down. Number one, manna teaches us that the source of our provision is ultimately God. Notice what it says in verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days. So God said to them, I'm going to test them. I'm going to rain down from heaven what is sort of thin slices of bread. He says, I'm going to rain bread down from heaven, and the people are going to go out. In this way, I will test them. What was he testing? He was testing to see how people would respond and how they would break out of that scarcity mentality. I believe that it's no coincidence that God had the bread rain from heaven. Because when it starts raining or it starts snowing, what do we automatically do? Besides grab your umbrella. You look up.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk program called Manna, the Scarcity Myth, which is from our brand new series called In God We Trust. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a copy of tonight's complete message for free. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark, though. We are in the book of Exodus tonight, and we are in a series called In God We Trust. Tonight's Straight Talk, Manna, the Scarcity Myth.
What's it look like? It's going to rain? No, it looks like, look. You look up. You look to the heavens. I believe that God could have caused the manna to come from the earth. He could have caused it to come from a well. He could have brought it about various different ways, but God decided to rain it from heaven. Why? So that a million people would look to the heavens and know that it was God that was the provider. A million people would look up and know that without a shadow of a doubt, in the middle of the land of scarcity, it was coming from heaven. Listen, I want you to understand this. No matter what happens on earth, there is never a shortage in heaven. There is never a heavenly recession. They're never saying, hey, let's get the, you know, you can't get the poofy, extra soft toilet paper. You know, you got to go with the cheaper kind because, you know, these are hard times. There's never turn off the lights in the living room because, hey, who pays the electric bill? Listen, there is no shortage in heaven. There is no crisis in heaven. There is no economic recession in heaven. God's resources remain the same. Unlimited, plentiful. There is never a time when God and the heavenly realm is limited in their resources. And the first thing that you need to understand is that ultimately God is the source of all of your resources. You say, no, Pastor, it's my job. And I have a union job. And it took me 5 years in apprenticeship to finally make my way up to getting a full journeyman's wage. Praise God for the union. Well, can I just cue you in on something? By the way, I know a lot of union workers out of jobs right now. But ultimately, whatever your job it is, whatever job you have, the Bible says in Deuteronomy that God is the one that gives us the ability to make wealth. That ultimately it is God that opens doors. Ultimately that is God that supplies our needs through jobs, through doors of opportunity. In a moment, you could lose all of your ability by the company that you work through going bankrupt. Or you could have an accident and be on disability. I mean, there's 1,000 things that could happen that could limit your ability to make wealth. And the Bible says that ultimately it is God. We look to the heavens. Now he may use this job and this opportunity and that opportunity. But ultimately, all of us in life, when we're honest and living in an abundance mentality, we look to the heavens and we say, thank you, God, that you are my provider. In Psalms 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. In other words, everything belongs to God. In Psalms 89, it says, the heavens are thine, the earth is also thine, the world and all that is in it. In James chapter 1, verse 16 through 17, it says, don't be deceived, my brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. What James is saying is that every good gift comes from heaven. Every good gift. Everything good comes from the Father, including your resources and finances. Ultimately, we need to be thanking God that He opens the doors. Ultimately, we need to be looking to the heaven and say, God, you open the doors. I'm blessing you and thanking you and acknowledging you in this process. Number two, each day we learn from manna that each day brings new provisions and new opportunities. Now notice what it says. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, manna, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in the tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much and some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much. And he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. The other thing I want you to understand from manna is this, that each day brings new provision and new opportunity. God could have had it all rain down once a month and just say, go out, take your shovels and your barrels, gather the manna, and it will last once a month. Some of you like to go shopping once a month. Big Sam's Club, you load it up, and that way you don't have to go on a regular basis. What God was saying to these people is that the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. What God is saying is this, through the manna principle, is that every day there's new opportunities. God provides new opportunities every day, so we open up our eyes and we look for those new opportunities each day as God provides them. He doesn't always supply a surplus so that we have a lot in advance. He doesn't always provide a shortage, but every day God gives us opportunities, and so we go out looking for manna. Well, I know some of you have been stuck, and maybe you're here today and you haven't had a job for a while and you feel stuck, and so you're in your house eating stale Dunkin' Donuts. You can't afford the fresh ones. Getting a little pot belly. Watching TV. Because they disconnected your cable. Feeling sorry for yourself. Lost in reruns of some old program. And you're just vicariously living the honeymooners all over. But you're not getting up and you're not looking for the manna from heaven. You're not getting up and going out and say, God, today is a new day. Oh, it's not yesterday, but today, God, you've given new opportunities. So I'm going to go out and look for the opportunities that you give because today is a new day. And new manna from heaven falls every day. And so I'm going to get up and look at the world as a place of opportunity, not as a place of scarcity. I'm going to go out, and I know I haven't got a job coming my way, but I'm going to go out and put job applications out there because I believe, God, that you have a way and a place and a door of opportunity, Lord. So every day I'm going to look for the manna from heaven, Father. They had to get up every day, get out of their bed every day. He didn't give them manna 1 month and they said, I'm going to sleep in the rest of the month. No. Every day they had to get up. Every day they had to put their coat on. Every day they had to do a little work. And every day they had to look for the opportunity that God was providing. I see a lot of people that get stuck in depression. A lot of people that get stuck in self-pity. A lot of people that get stuck and don't go out of their house and they have low motivation. And they're spiraling downward because they don't realize that God is the God of the manna for today. That God taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Hey, maybe you didn't get a job yesterday, but today, hey, it's a new day. There's new opportunities. Let's look for them. Number three, manna teaches us that if we try to hoard God's provision, it spoils and rots. Verse 19, it says, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until the morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it till the morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry at them. You see, God said, I want you to go out every day and look to the heavens. I don't want you to hoard. I don't want you to go out and take extra. I want you just to take what you need. Because whatever you hoard, it's going to rot. So some of them, there's always someone that thinks they're smarter than God, right? Well, I know God said this, but I got my little strategy. A scarcity mentality thinks, well, what if it doesn't rain tomorrow? I know God said he would. Well, I'm gonna take a little extra. Junior, grab an extra pail, come on. They put it in their tent, cover it all up. No one's going to know. Those suckers out there, they're not as smart as us. And the next morning when they woke up, the extra that they had hoarded, put into their pail. Well, have you ever seen maggots? I have. Hot day, garbage isn't picked up, put something in the, you go out to the garbage can, and man, I remember one day, I don't know what it was. It's just, they're nasty. They just, their fat little bodies are squirming around. Seem to be everywhere. It stinks. That's exactly what happens when we hoard. When we're not honoring God and His Word and following His principles. When we develop a scarcity mentality, it begins to stench up our soul. It begins to stink our attitude. It begins to make us competitive and stingy and greedy. I mean, it begins to have its effect on our spiritual life, and we begin to suffer the infirmity and the stench of living outside of the abundance mentality that God has called us to, and we fall into a selfish mentality with the people around us, with all our life, not just our finances, because our mentality affects our emotions and our words and our attitude towards life, and some people have maggots in their attitude.
That was Pastor Mark's message called Manna and the Scarcity Myth, which is from our series called In God We Trust. Here's some information about Straight Talk and New Life. Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago. If you enjoyed tonight's message, we invite you to download for free our brand new Straight Talk app. You can find it at Pastor Mark's website, www.pastormarkjobe.com. That's pastormarkjobe.com. There you'll find information about New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark, and there's a Bible reading app to help you stay in the Word this year. We invite you to hear Pastor Mark in person at our Midway location, which is 5101 South Keeler near Midway Airport in Chicago. Our services are at 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. If you take the train, it's the Orange Line, and it's at the Pulaski stop. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, Josh, and our Straight Talk team. We hope that you've enjoyed tonight's broadcast, and we ask that you join us again as we continue with our series called In God We Trust. Tomorrow, it's Financial Peace and the Scarcity Myth. Thanks for listening. Have a great night. God bless.